This is GamerCast episode 299, Nintendo at E3, plus catch up. This is the show recorded on the 18th of June 2012. Yeah, I'm your host, my name is Paul, and with me this week is Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
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 How's it going?
Alright, I'm still tired from E3.
I'm still tired from having 2 weeks off work.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, what's happening? What's happening? Why weren't there an episode last week?
I had a day off.
So you're allowed a day off, but I have to do the show.
Well, I'd gotten back the day before from America and was pretty tired. So we just didn't do one last week.
No episode last week because let's blame it on technical issues. There were technical issues. And plus the suitcase with the equipment we needed was in Canada somewhere. So.
Yeah, my suitcase.
Yeah, that's the reason. We're gonna cover Nintendo's press conference and just whatever else. No name that game this week because this is still technically the E3 episode we owe you from 2 weeks ago.
Although I have added usual other pieces in, like new releases.
But there is like the new release
and news. So it's Nintendo plus news.
Now for the news.
Sapnin.
I didn't actually go to the Nintendo one myself. I let Charlotte go to that because I went to Ubisoft and she went to Nintendo. It was all very Wii U focused. There was a lack of anything 3DS really mentioned. At least like lots and lots of announcements of games, and it just kind of felt like they were just throwing the 3DS to the side, being like, we don't care about this right now, we want people to see the Wii U. And that was their main focus on the show floor as well. There was a very small amount of 3DS. The main 3DS games that there were either weren't on the Nintendo stand or they were being carried around by girls which had them strapped to their waist or something like that. That's kind of weird asking them to play the games as well. So they started off with things like Pikmin 3, which is really cool. I gave it a play. It works like a Pikmin game, which is really cool. They've added two new Pikmin types, a rock Pikmin and a pink Pikmin, I think it was. Sandy was flying. But it's got the standard Pikmin ones in it, so red, blue, yellow. Apparently purple and white aren't going to be a main Pikmin class within the game, but they will show up, as Mr. Miyamoto stated in the conference. He stated that in a round table, I think it was. They spoke about the controllers, so the Wii U gamepad, which is the big screen, which is really lightweight. Of all the games I've played, it felt quite light. Of course, it was plugged in that way, so it didn't have any batteries in it, so I imagine batteries would add a lot of weight if it is battery-based, or it might be a lithium battery.
Well, either way, it's weight, isn't it?
Either way, it was very lightweight as it was. And you could easily, like, drop it on the floor and think it'd smash. I mean, it's got a screen on it anyway, so it's a bit less hardy even than any other general controller. And they also then, of course, announced or showed off the Pro Controller as well, which is the one shaped like it's kind of like a classic controller, but it's also like a 360 controller, you could say. They showed off a lot of the third-party games. Arkham City Armored Edition, which is Arkham City for the Wii U, pretty much. Darksiders 2, Mass Effect 3, Trine 2, Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Cut. Was that really the name of it? I played that. Aliens, Colonial Marines. Of course, a few of those were shown at last year's E3, so Colonial Marines and Darksiders 2 were both in their kind of roundup trailers showing all the stuff on the Wii U. But Trine 2 is pretty nice. It works really nicely on the gamepad because you pretty much either just play with the screen or play with the gamepad. And it looks really nice and crisp on the gamepad, and you've got buttons to switch between the characters and between the attacks. So it works really, really well because I gave that a play as well. They showed Wii Fit U, which I didn't actually give a play of but do I really want to play that?
No.
There you go. Just Dance 4 and Sing. Is it just Sing? Which is the freestyle game. So Freestyle made DJ Hero. DJ Hero 2. I believe they did the second one as well. And they're making this the kind of new Sing game for the Wii U, which is a really weird game because I went to another event and they were playing it. There was all these Nintendo girls with it. And I just don't understand how the game works. Like, on the TV, there was no scoring system. There was a girl, like an animated girl, singing. And then there was a person with the gamepad singing. And it came up with instructions on the screen telling people to dance and stuff. But I saw no kind of... Like, nothing was really watching them dance, I don't believe. And it just seemed like there was no point other than, you know, social fun.
Well, yeah, what's the point, yeah?
Well, I just don't get the... Because, I mean, I should have looked at a gamepad as well, but I couldn't see any kind of thing of a scoring system telling you if you're doing wrong or bad.
You didn't put the gamepad in front of the TV or something, did you? So that the camera on it could see if you're dancing or...
No, the person was reading the lyrics of the song off the gamepad.
What, while dancing?
No, there was a person at the front singing, and there was people in the front dancing. Sorry, singing and dancing. Add my ING's on.
Yeah, that's definitely a fantastic game. I'm sure everyone's
I was just a little bit confused with the thing of it. Of course, it's, you know, promoting people having fun together and playing games together, which is what the Wii U seems to all be about, having a fifth player that allows a bit more interaction with that fifth player and everyone else. They also showed Scribblenauts Universe, which I gave a play and it was quite nice. I mean, it's Scribblenauts though, so it's kind of what you expect from it. I mean, you could use touchscreen to type it in, but then you could do that with the DS and with the iOS version of Scribblenauts as well. So there wasn't a huge amount of, like, new features, I felt. At least when I played it, anyway. They showed off Lego City Undercover, which is the trailer I was watching when you came downstairs, and you were like, what's that?
Aye.
Which is...
And Lego Man in it.
As Charlotte likes to call it, it's like L.A. Noir, but with Lego. What it is, you're like an undercover detective, though. Whereas in L.A. Noir, he's not really an undercover detective. But it's using, of course, their Lego engine. And it's within an open city environment. And you're solving crimes and stuff. They've used the Wii U pad as a map. Or what looks like a map. And you have, like, little people come up and say, oh, there's a crime in this area. Oh, no, there's stuff over here. And you kind of solve it. Also, one thing to mention about Pikmin 3, because I did previously mention it, of course. They are currently using the map. The Wii U gamepad as a map. The lady I spoke to said they might not be keeping that as an option, but I thought it was quite nice because you could see where fruit was and other things and where your Pikmin was. And what was really cool was after the demo, it did a replay on the map. So you could see where you weren't as good in other areas. So if you were like hanging around here and then moving around and then moving around and hanging around. So I was waiting for my Pikmin to get back to the base so that I could grab them again and send them off elsewhere. So, I mean, a lot of things seem to be using it as a map-based system, which makes sense, of course. It's kind of what you'd expect from the pad, as a nice kind of addition to the kind of standard game. They showed, of course, the Mario game as well, new Super Mario Bros. U, and did show off, or mention... how? Because there was a 3DS specific conference as well, which I still haven't watched. But they mentioned how there's new Super Mario Bros. 2 out in August, new Paper Mario game, and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon may finally come out at some point, which was supposed to originally be coming out last year. But obviously they just keep delaying it. And then of course they announced Nintendo Land. So Nintendo Land was like the biggest feature at E3 for Nintendo. Nintendo Land is
a Sega free place where you can only play Nintendo stuff.
Yes, so Nintendo Land is like, it's supposed to be like a theme park attraction thing. So maybe they looked at Disneyland Connect or something like that and thought, hey, people will like this. We should maybe go off this angle. So there's 12 attractions in Nintendo Land. They had 5 of the attractions at E3. I should have brought up my pins so I could show them off. I like my pins. So they had Zelda Battle
Why
Quest.
Why have pins when you can have a new pair of shoes?
Donkey Kong Crash Course.
A new pair of running shoes that you can run away from Nintendo in.
Donkey Kong Crash Course, Taka Shoeman.
The man with the shoes.
Takamari's Ninja Castle, Luigi's Ghost Mansion, and Animal Crossing Sweet Day. The best of them was Donkey Kong Crash Course. I gave them all a play at E3. Donkey Kong Crash Course was the most refined feeling game. The rest were kind of about interactions with other people. So Animal Crossing had your name. Well, Animal Crossing and Luigi's Mansion were very similar to each other. They both had like the evil person on the Wii U gamepad, and everyone else was playing with Wiimotes, and you had to kind of escape the people with the gamepad. They worked really nicely. But I just really prefer... Well, I just really, really liked Donkey Kong Crash Course, which was a puzzle platformer game where you were a little Mii face on wheels and you had to get through a level, and it all has to do with tilting the controller.
Oh, that sounds fun.
With sequential things. So there was, like, Eleanor could make things go a certain way. So either things would be sitting up or... fluid, so you could carry on and everything. And then there was also rotating to get platforms to rotate. But otherwise, that was probably my favourite game. The Ninja Castle game was alright. It was pretty much a shoot 'em up, and played okay. Then, what was the other one? Oh, Zelda Battle Quest. Didn't really like that much. I thought it was quite unbalanced because the person on the Wii pad can't control their movement and is on a fixed path. So all you could do was shoot arrows with the gamepad. And all your friends, well, your friends could move around, they had Wiimotes, and they had swords, and they could slash about. And if you were playing with people you didn't know, like I was, they didn't give a crap about me, so they let me die, which then meant the game was over. Because I couldn't move, then these enemies kept coming towards me, all the people with the swords had buggered off, like, into the distance, and then now I was getting attacked. I mean, so I could attack the enemies with my bow and arrow, but not as quickly as a swordsman could. So it meant it was a little unbalanced feeling. But the thing is, though, of course, if you play games like that, you're going to be playing with friends who you can cooperate with, as opposed to people that just don't listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem you'd always get. Luigi's Mansion was really cool, though, because it was like Luigi's Mansion but top-down, and worked a lot nicer than that. Animal Crossing was really weird, though, because you controlled two characters with the gamepad. And left analog stick was one character, and right analog stick was another one. So it was really disorientating moving two characters around because, I don't know, it was just an odd sensation or feeling. But it was quite nice because if you moved them so far away, the map would really zoom out and you could see everything. But they were quite slow characters. And that's kind of it of Nintendo, really. They were really all about the Wii U. Iwatawa... mention it. Like they announced ages ago, they were never going to announce the release date and price. Or was it they said they were not going to announce the release date? Either way, they said they weren't going to announce it, and they didn't announce it. I know a lot of places have it up for pre-order now, like Game, Shop 2, Amazon, I think Amazon does. Like, £200 and something.
£200?
£200 and something.
Man, I could buy loads of shoes with that.
What is with you in shoes right now? Why are you all about the shoes? I'm confused.
Nearby.
What is it?
Nearby.
Do I have a Wii U on here? Wii U.
Wii shoe.
Oh, they've changed it now. So before on the game website, they had it as a price, whereas now you just do a £20 deposit. £20 deposit.
20 quid? Effing hell, like, for a bit of fictional hardware that doesn't even exist?
Of course, though, if you did pre-order it with game, you'd be able to get your money back on deposit if you decided you didn't want it anyway. But they're £280 currently listed on Shop 2. However, of course, no one's had an official confirmation.
Well, there's no price announced, so there's no price.
Well, yeah. So they're making
up prices. If there's no price, there's no price.
So, yeah, Nintendo, I don't know, I suppose, felt a little lacking. I mean, they don't really announce new IPs, though, do they?
Well, to be fair, Nintendo have been going, well, Nintendo, they've all been down bottom, it's Nintendo. They've got too many pairs of shoes over there and not enough video games.
What the hell is this about?
You'll find out at some point in the future.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Shoes, isn't it? Mario has shoes. Luigi has shoes. Even Yoshi has shoes.
Yoshi.
Sonic
has shoes.
That's not Nintendo.
Does Donkey Kong have shoes?
I don't think so. I just
he doesn't picture, have shoes. Donkey Kong has
a
tie.
I just picture paws. In it. What's next?
So now I'm going to just go into normal news.
So into normal news.
I'll try and get through it as quickly as possible.
Good,
because there's a fair amount.
16 minutes into the show, and
you're bored.
I don't know if I want to be that impolite, but my shoe jokes aren't being funny
enough.
I don't
understand it.
I'm not having any feedback from anyone about the shoe jokes, so I don't know if I'm going to roll with it going forward.
Of course, we didn't do a standard show the first Monday of E3, so this is like a week's worth of news from the week before, well, the day we did the last podcast before E3 up until now.
Yeah, I got the feedbacks.
So, there's a fair bit of news. So first up, EA have announced a thing called Sims 3 Supernatural.
Games. It's in the game.
Which is kind of Plants vs. Zombies related. It comes with a... Well, if you pre-order it, you get a limited edition version of it, which gives you a Plants vs. Zombies content pack. So this... Last time
a?
I looked...
I thought we were talking about Sims 3.
Yeah, Plants vs. Zombies content pack.
Oh, so you buy Sims 3 and you get Plants vs. Zombie thing.
Pre-order it. Yeah, in the Sims 3. It's coming out in September, so just before Halloween time. You'd think they might put it around October time. And I believe it's a digital-only one, if I...
Meh. Digital-only, I want a box, man. Although,
I know,
granted,
you can pre-order it across retailers.
Granted,
as well.
I wouldn't want a cheap EA box that falls apart after 10 seconds and a single sheet of paper inside, if you're lucky.
So, for example, if you did pre-order it and you got the Plants vs. Zombies pack, you get pea shooters that you can put in your garden. And then you can also dress your Sims up as zombies, as in Plants vs. Zombie style.
Yeah.
So what it is that it adds in, like, spells and zombies and...
Shoes.
Lunar cycle-related stuff. Does that mean werewolves? Yeah, so they're just, you know, adding another expansion to the set. Then we've got Way of the Samurai 4 has been announced for release in Europe. Of course, Way of the Samurai 3 came out not last year, the year before, I think. Which is quite odd because it's NIS, and they've said that they're going to release it in September on the PlayStation 3. And it will be coming out as a retail product and through the PlayStation Store. Do I need to mention about that at all? Right, it takes place in the Edo period, which is the... mid-19th century Japan, 100 years after...
Skyrim!
Okay. Oh, for 100 years, Japan's been isolated. I'm just going to try and carry on. Indie Royale news. They've now added a collection...
Let's just skip over that last one, shall we?
Well, I could go into more detail about it, but I didn't really play Way of the Samurai 3. And if I want to talk about Way of the Samurai 4, I'll just end up reading.
No one cares.
Some people do like it. I mean, Way of the Samurai 3, I don't think it reviewed very well. So Indie Royale. Of course, they do Indie Royale bundles. Whenever
it's too
I see
often,
this.
Like...
Sorry. Whenever I see Indie Royale, I think of Burger King because of Chicken Royale.
Oh, let's go to Burger King.
Then have a Burger King. So they've announced that one thing they're doing, which all the indie bundles don't really do, is a collection. So you'll be able to log in on the website and see a collection of all the codes that all the bundles you've purchased and get the codes all from one place. Whereas, for example, with the Humble Indie Bundles, you have to search through all your emails in order to find them, because you can't just log in on the website. Because it's all based on a one-time kind of click, which is generally with PayPal or something like that. So you never really create an account to look after your stuff and manage your codes and all this stuff. So they've done that with the Indie Royale one now, and they also have a new bundle up called the June Bug Bundle, which comes with Pixel Junk Eden, which I didn't realise was out on Steam. So that's a PS3 or PSN game, I suppose. It's also got Escape Goat, Noitu, Love 2, Devolution, and Auditorium. Last time I looked, the current minimum was £3.26. Which is quite cheap.
Wow.
Very, very cheap for four games.
And of course, now we've mentioned it on Super Popular Gamercast, the price is going to skyrocket, so now's the time to buy it.
Next up, Disney's Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, has been given a launch date, which is the 23rd of November in the UK and November 18th for anyone in
America. Is this game going to have a more suitable rating, like 18?
Well, Warren Spector's been talking to the press recently saying, we're very proud for not having violent games because everything's violent at the moment. If you look at what's coming out of E3.
Yeah, but, and then it's just a really scary game.
Mickey was, it has a pretty creepy looking cutscene at the start of the game.
I had nightmares.
You had nightmares.
I couldn't sleep for months.
But that's the thing, like things like Disney have always had that. They have actually had a layer of kind of creepiness.
Yes, their propaganda department flipping, stopping them from getting ratings like they should do. Aladdin should be an 18.
Why Aladdin an 18? What's in that?
That's the only thing I can think of that's Disney at the moment.
Lion King?
Yeah, Lion King. Doesn't someone get hurt in that? That's 18.
Okay. Next up, PlayStation Plus.
Doesn't have that annoying Lion King song.
PlayStation Plus related stuff.
What's that?
Sony are trying to promote it as much as possible. One of the things, of course, they did to do this was give everyone PlayStation Plus memberships who attended the press conference, which was very nice of them. And so they're like, we're giving you loads of free stuff. Well, free stuff as long as you have a subscription, of course. So from June 6th, there's going to be an instant game collection of 10 games to choose from. Which, of course, June 6th was a while ago, because that was what they announced at the press conference.
Aye, it was a while ago.
And they're going to have three of those games updated monthly, so they'll be changed around. I know one of the games this time around is Virtua Fighter 5 Showdown, I believe. They've all got dates if you go on the PSN store. So I know Strangers of Wrath is available, I think, until September time. But they're just saying, you know, we're going to try our best to give you free stuff. Because the thing is, with PlayStation Plus, so as long as you keep your subscription, you have the games. If you download the games before they're taking off being free for PlayStation Plus members, you have them. As long as you download them before the day they're taken off. Mm. So you just got to remember to log in all the time, really. And they've also put three retail games available with PlayStation Plus, which is Infamous 2, Metal Storm Apocalypse, and Little Big Planet 2. I think it's quite nice. I mean, of course, it is quite expensive. Because I suppose the difference... Well, I don't know. I'd like it if Xbox Live started allowing you to have games as well for free.
What, subscription-based?
Like how PlayStation Plus does it.
But
adding in, like, a free live arcade game every month?
Yeah, I mean, it's something they could add, but the trouble is their proposition has already got, I think, enough value to justify the expense of it.
I don't use online. Yeah, I have a Gold subscription.
Yeah, but we only pay £20 for it.
True. I don't know. I do like what they're doing with PlayStation Plus, although it feels like you're only paying for subscriptions to games for it.
Well, what I'm hoping Microsoft announce is some sort of video and music subscription service bundled together with the Xbox Live Gold membership. Or maybe they introduce a new level, like Xbox Live Platinum, and then you get the unlimited music like you would on a Zoom Pass. Mm.
As opposed to, here has some free baseball and NBA.
Yeah, obviously, we don't care about whatever rubbish TV crap. No one watches TV anymore.
UFC.
Right? Yeah, neighbor.
Sports. So yeah, I mean, PlayStation Plus is like £40 for a year.
I same price as Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah.
Except you cannot get it cheap in a family pack like we do.
Well, yeah. The only thing that seems, of course, a bit different about PlayStation Plus, of course, is that you are just paying for the games, pretty much. There are a few other tiny things that you do get from having a PlayStation Plus subscription.
That's the thing. Sony are looking for things...
But it's because it's free to play, it feels like you're getting less.
Sony are looking for things to put in it to make people pay for it. But the trouble is, if they take away multiplayer gaming from people... how are people going to react to that? They're not going to be happy.
Be happy.
They're trying to like just chuck little things in to make people pay their subscription.
Well, it's nice because you get additional discounts to things that are usually on sale as well. So, like, everybody's golf was on sale over the weekend, I guess because football's happening. So they thought, hey, play some golf. It was like $7.99 for normal people or $7.19 for PlayStation Plus. So you save an extra 90p.
Let's move on, shall we?
Yes, I'm sorry. So Lucius has a release date. This game we talked about briefly in the past where you play the son of the devil or Lucifer. Who is a 8-year-old child, and you have to kill people pretty much. But it's through like solving puzzles to create accidents. So like how you can create accidents in Hitman, except you're an 8-year-old boy. And they've given a release date, which is October 26th, just before Halloween, which is quite nice. Max Payne 3, they've released the second issue of the comic, Hoboken Blues. First issue, After the Fall, is already available as well, which you can check out. If you go on the website, which is rockstargames.com/MaxPayne3/comics, you can download them and for free, or read them online if you want. And you can also, I think it was, put in your social club details and you can win actual physical copies of the comics.
I'm a leprechaun.
I think physical copies of the comics would be quite nice. So yeah, you can check those out if you've enjoyed Max Payne 3. Trine 2 Director's Cut. So we've already mentioned Trine 2 because of the Wii U stuff. But Trine 2 Director's Cut was kind of announced during E3. And that was because Frozen Byte were announcing that they're making the Wii U version, which features the original game with numerous enhancements and gameplay polish alongside a new game mode called Magic Mayhem that has been made specifically for the Wii U. Yeah, I thought it looked lovely on the Wii U. I mean, one thing to be fair, none of their TVs at, like, this is not at E3, this was at another thing. Their TVs were a bit low res, but everything looked lovely on the gamepads. So yeah, Trine 2 looks awesome, and I can't wait to see when that's coming out, because it'd be interesting to know whether it's going to be... It says here it's intended to be launched the holiday season of 2012. But that's what everyone kind of says for the Wii U launch, isn't it?
The Wii U is a new games console. It's made by Sega.
Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 was announced at Konami's pre-E3 conference press
thingamajig.
There weren't many details known, but there's a trailer that you can check out. And alongside that, Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate for the 3DS has also been announced, which is being released alongside Lords of Shadows, Lords of Shadow 2. Flip my neck. It's too hot. It's been released alongside it, but in autumn. So
the autumn when it's nice and cool.
It goes along the same story, but I think it has... Yeah, it goes more along Belmont. Trevor Belmont. And Simon. Yeah, so this is a 3DS one. This has been made, I believe, by the same company that make Lords of Shadow as well. So they're having a little dip in some 3DS development as well. So that was kind of the Konami news of E3, really. Quantum Conundrum has a release date for on Windows, which is June 21st. So that's actually this week. Yep, that's Thursday. It's available for pre-order on Steam. And no date has been announced yet for PSN/XBLA, but they've said it will be available at some point this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars 1313 was announced. I tried to look at this game, and their website did not work for me, and I got really annoyed. So I thought, meh.
So we've decided that the game must be rubbish because...
I filled in all the bits on the site to get in. Stupid age gate. Submit, whatever nothing. It was. And every time I tried it in a couple of different browsers and it just did not work.
Well, we need to launch a campaign against the thing you're talking about to make sure that the alien colonial marines people go in there and shoot them all dead.
So in 1313 you take control of a bounty hunter. And it's supposed to be a more darker side of Star Wars, so kind of what we've had with Knights of the Old Republic and stuff like that. But more action-y. Well, Knights of the Old Republic is action-y, but it has its RPG elements to it. This was ages ago now. The Aliens Colonial Marines collection was announced, which comes with a small power loader with rib. Oh no, it's just got a marine in it with a xenomorph on it. And then you get lots of other things. So there's like lots of DLC. So you can play as Hicks or Hudson.
Hudson, yeah. Hudson's the man.
Not that they ever, of course, got anything to do with Colonial Marines game, but DLC, I suppose.
Hudson, Hudson, game over, man.
You get multiplayer weapons, an exclusive game level, which is the USCM Academy firing range. And then a USCM dossier that has a few things in it, so it makes me think it can have... Yeah, because it has some nice little things. So it's got, inside that dossier, a mission brief, USS Sephora schematic, a recruitment card, an LV-46 recon... a photo, USCM iron-on badges, and a graduation certificate as well. It's been announced for an American release. I don't know if it's available for pre-order anywhere in the UK yet, but it's supposed to be $100, and that's for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, because I don't believe it's coming out on Windows.
No.
No, I haven't got it down here for being coming out on Windows.
Oh, I've got people messaging me asking why the chat ain't working. Mm. Oh my god, we just logged into the chat room.
Guacamole or Guacamole?
Look, man, I'm typing in the chat room.
Guacamole has been kind of announced to have a proper release now. So before it was kind of just slightly announced thing that Drinkbox Studios were making. However, just before E3, they announced that through the SCEA, so Sony Computer Entertainment America Pub Fund Program, they'll be releasing Guacamole on the PlayStation Network to work on PS3 and PlayStation Vita. They had it at the booth, but we didn't manage to give it a go, sadly, even though I really wanted to play it, because they wouldn't let us play it.
Well, neighbor, send the Colonial Marines in.
So that's pretty cool, because it's a nice little game from the guys that made
Marshall.
Mutant Blobs.
Feral Marshall.
Which is really nice. Charles's been here for ages. Oh, you've been all alone?
Yeah, well, we've only just been able to log in, so... And even now, it says we're the only people logged in.
Namco have announced some Dark Souls stuff. So, Artorias of the Abyss, which is in DLC, is coming out on Xbox Live and PSN this winter. They've also said how the Prepare to Die edition is having exclusive European retail release and is available on August 24th. And that's PC. And I think, did it say here that they're doing the... Prepare to Die, yeah, and they're also doing a retail edition of the Prepare to Die edition for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 in Europe and Australasia this winter.
Oh, Australasia.
Lace Mamba have announced a new game which is called Death Road. What it looks like is it wants to be, it's kind of like a Wipeout, but it actually looks really quite cool. So it's not got the same kind of futuristic ship design as Wipeout does. But it looks really cool. I wonder if it's as fast as it looks, because if it is as fast as the trailers look, that could be quite a cool game. You got weapons on your ship, so you can shoot guys down as well.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. And it has multiplayer for up to 8 players.
Wow, 8.
8 on so PC. And it's coming out August 10th with an RRP of £20. I thought it looked really quite cool. The music was quite repetitive in the trailer, but otherwise, if it goes really fast, then I think that's really cool. What?
I'm just...
You're looking at me funny like I done something.
No, I'm just saying, come on.
Okay.
I'm just reading my webpages. Okay.
Jagged Alliance Crossfire has been announced, Warcraft, which is
Hunter's Union.
The first
sponsor is Gamercast at this very second.
Which is the first standalone add-on for Jagged Alliance, and it's coming out this summer.
Now we're sponsored by as easy as riding a bike.
Apparently, it adds 15 to 20 hours of additional gameplay, which is a hell of a lot of gameplay to add on in an expansion pack. But I suppose the expansions, you know, generally give a lot of gameplay usually. A price hasn't been announced, and it's supposed to be coming out this summer. Cinemora was announced for the PlayStation Vita. I gave this play at E3. it's the release sound cool. What? I'm reading the chat room.
Don't read the chat room.
Cinemora was, of course, released for Xbox Live Arcade, and it was exclusive. However, of course, now I guess exclusivity has changed slightly. I guess their window for exclusiveness is, you know, passed or whatever, and it's coming out on PlayStation Vita. I thought it was really fun. I gave it a play. They actually had the full game on the Vitas there, so I just played through the game for a bit. Charlotte was like, do you realise you're just playing through the game now? I was like, yeah, I know, I'm playing it. It was really cool. It also has a 3G feature, which is really cool because, like, no games in the UK have featured 3G features. So it tracks your movements in a way. So once you travelled from Hungary to Tokyo and back, you can unlock, like, everything in the bonus art gallery thingamajig. However, of course, like, part travel, I'm sure, unlocks things along the way. But when you travel the full distance, you get everything. So I thought it was really cool. No price or release date has been announced, but it looked lovely. And anyone who didn't want to buy it when it was on XBLA, because you're not an Xbox user, you'll be able to pick it up on your PlayStation Vita. It didn't have any specific Vita controls at the time. They may, of course, be doing something, but it just looked really nice on the screen and worked well with the analog stick.
Why?
I need to breathe.
Okay, I'll talk about Sonic.
Are you gonna?
No, because things are crashing there on the screen at the moment. Yeah.
It's dropping.
Dropping what? What's dropping?
I saw it said dropped, didn't it?
I probably dropped a few frames, like, because unfortunately my computer's already getting too warm, like.
Because it's really warm.
I suppose I really shouldn't have the fan set on that quietest thing.
Charlotte said you gone offline.
No, boy, we're still broadcasting.
We're broadcasting.
We're doing a show.
I know.
Let's roll, yeah.
I was breathing as well, because I've been saying everything, and I'm
Well, I could talk about stuff if you want. What do you want me to talk about?
I'm almost done.
What do you want me to talk about?
I'm going to talk about Crusader Kings 2, Sword of Islam, which is a new DLC pack that's been announced for Crusader Kings 2.
Sword of Islam.
This, of course, as you may guess from the title, allows you to play as the Islamic people.
Play on as the Islamic people.
Play as...
We're not going to get any death threats against us now, are we? No, of course not. Maybe I don't want a fatwa against me or whatever they're called. I can do without.
Have I got any names of people? No,
can we pick on the Christians? They're more entertaining.
So it allows you to play rule as the Muslim lords, which delivers a selection of new mechanics that are distinctive to these rulers, making a whole new gameplay experience with lords, marriage, holding traits, titles, and more working completely different. What?
Do I get to conquer Spain?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I just made it sound really bad. Either way, they're posting detailed development diaries on the Paradox forums, which you can check out. And it's coming out during June at some point, which they're running out of time, for Windows and Macintosh for £7.99 for the PC of DLC. Next news is really, really cool. I've called it Toonby. Of course, the release that I'm talking about is called Toonba. So, what are they called? Monkey Paw Games are releasing...
Monkey Paw?
Monkey Paw.
Well, they need to get some monkeys.
Oh. Monkey Paw Games are releasing Toonba for the PlayStation Network. Sadly, this is only in America. Anyone who doesn't know what Toonba is, maybe you know it as Toonby, which was a PS1 game, which is really, really cool. Sadly, quite rare and really expensive to get a hold of. And this game is coming out on the PlayStation Network for $9.99. It comes out tomorrow, on the 19th. And anyone in America will be able to pick it up. Of course, if you have an American PSN account, you'd be able to buy it and play it then anyway. But then you need $9.99 in your wallet, I suppose. But yeah, it's not coming out in Europe. They've said if it does well in America, they'll release it in Europe. Which is really mean.
That's fine. Send in the Colonial Marines.
Because I want to play it on my PAL account. And
not allowed.
Give it a go, but no, I can't because it's not coming out. I have a copy of Toonby, but I want to play it on my PS3 easily. Just press play. As opposed to getting the disc.
Now, Neighbor, let's talk about Jet Set Radio, because this is a brand new game. New and innovative. Awesome. No one's ever played anything like this before.
So, this was before I got to say this stuff last time, because we didn't do a show, like I said. So, Jet Set Radio, I'm sure everyone knows anyway, is coming out on the PlayStation Vita.
Jet Set Radio, the first, that is.
Yes, not Future.
Not Future.
So, it's coming out on PlayStation Vita. They've announced the track listings. The track listings are what they are, which is everything minus two tracks, because it is the
Smash Shoe Holder
De La Jet Set Radio code for the game. So they're doing a HD re-release, whatever's, of the De La Jet Set Radio version of the game that has every song bar two, and yeah. It's really, really good. I gave it a play. It's awesome. You can control the camera with an analog stick, which you could not do on the Dreamcast because it only had one analog stick.
Nah.
It had a D-pad. Search it. Look it up on the internet and then you can thingy it. You got Boost and Graffiti on L and R. I think it was Boost was on R and Graffiti was on L. Either way, there's a preview up on Gamercast.
Oh yeah, it didn't have anything here, did it?
I think you had to press something with B to. Was that for Graffiti? I don't know. Either way, Graffiti and Camera wasn't as fluid as it is on this PlayStation Old Vita build. PlayStation Vita build was very nice. Didn't include any Vita specific feature savvy, and the nice Sega man would not tell me anything more. He asked me to suggest features instead, so I just started telling him things, and I told him about the Cinemora stuff, and he thought that was really cool. Either way, it looks lovely on a PlayStation Vita screen. It plays lovely. I played the first level. I did it in Turbo, I think. Is it? No, Nitro. I think Nitro is the best you can get.
Nitro. I'd get some nitrates in ya.
Nitrates. I was trying to find.
And then put your running shoes on, like.
Put my running shoes on.
Aye, run.
Run.
Run like the wind.
The wind.
The wind.
Oh my god. But yeah, so I played it. I really enjoyed it. It plays lovely by having control over the camera so nicely. I mean, heck, that's a massive. Addition to it. Plus, of course, it's 16:9, which looks really nice, because, of course, the original was 4:3. And, yeah, that's, like, it's the best re-release that Sega are doing to date. And I only hope Shenmue comes next. Or Jet Set Radio Future. If Jet Set Radio does well, I'm sure they'll release Future, and I'd love to play that on my Vita as well. Fan talking. Pay attention to the fans. And then finally, some CD Projekt Red news. They announced that they're making a game within the Cyberpunk universe, which is a RPG, pen and paper, RPG. If anyone knows a bit, Cyberpunk. I have a picture. Of course, CD Projekt are the people that made The Witcher, and they've done a really cool job on that. And the sequel, so hopefully they'll do some real good stuff with Cyberpunk, because of course this is really hot, I'm putting it on the floor. They've done really nice stuff with the fantasy style genre. I'm sure they'll do amazing stuff with Cyberpunk. We can't keep doing this. That's the news done.
Oh.
It's you.
You talking about it's me? Of course it's me. Who else would it be? Foulclaw?
This chair is uncomfortable.
So there's no Name My Game this week, because this is an E3 show, as opposed to a normal show.
Yes.
Which is why it's got E3 in the title, to just finish up and have a Nintendo show.
Yeah.
Which is mostly not about Nintendo.
Yeah.
So we're going to just move on to letters now. I have a letter from no one, so we don't need to do that. So we'll now do this.
New releases this week.
So we've got a few games coming out. Nothing.
Truck driving simulator.
So we've got Scania. Is that how you say it? Scania.
Scania. Scania.
Truck driving sim. So it's actually a slightly branded truck driving sim. It looks really nice. It's truck driving sim.
Truck driver. Want to drive truck?
Missions.
Missions. What? Don't kill anyone.
No. Get package from here and stuff like that.
Don't kill anyone.
And don't kill anyone. I don't think you can kill people, can you? I don't think you can kill people, can you?
What a shame. GTA Truck Driving Simulator.
Yeah. Oh, you can talk about the next one.
Civilization 5. Gods and Kings, the expansion pack to Sid Meier's Civilization 5, is coming out. This is the new expansion that adds a bunch of features that people want, i.e. religion. And other stuff that maybe Catherine will want to talk about.
Well, the religion is the main thing, isn't it?
Aye. But the trouble is, I don't play Civ anymore. Civ 5 put me off Civilization.
New technologies, new units.
Well, yeah, of course,
new buildings,
new jig jam.
9 new wonders, new civilizations, Carthage, Netherlands, Celts, Mayans. 9 new leaders, William the First, Prince of Orange, Boudicca, and Pakal the Great. We went over this before. Do I remember saying Pakal before, and I was like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. So this is all the usual Sid Meier Civilization filler expansion pack. Add new civilizations.
Naval combat.
Slightly different bonuses. What do you mean navy combat? There's already naval combat in
there. Naval combat. What says here? Naval combat. Your navy is now split into two different ship types, melee and ranged.
Okay, no, split them out. Okay.
Means no coastal city should be considered safe. And you can fall to a surprise naval attack.
Fair enough. But yeah, religion's obviously the main sort of gameplay mechanic being added to it.
It says here as well, there's 3 new scenarios, Medieval, Fall of Rome, and Empires of the Smoky Skies.
No one plays the scenarios, we just do a normal game, normal Civ game, we don't want to do a scenario.
Okay.
If we wanted to do scenarios, we'd do Total War, because scenario, Japan, this is the date, take all this stuff over, there's a scenario. You know, Civilization, I want to use my imagination, yeah? I want to be immersed in the game, imagining, yeah, this is my civilization. In this city, which is a teeny weeny square, there are people, and I'm going to kill them all by dropping a nuke on my own city.
Then we've also got Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes coming out. This is coming out on like every platform. So I believe Wii, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Windows, Vita, 3DS.
Everything. Dreamcast, GameCube,
yeah, Dreamcast.
Game Boy.
No one go to your store and expect Dreamcast, Game Boy game, or anything like that, because it's not coming out on it, I'm sorry.
No, okay. Pro Cycling Manager Season 2012, Lance Armstrong's in trouble again, is also coming out.
apparently it looks really nice. They've got a really nice engine for it.
I don't get it. What you do?
You're a manager, though.
Okay, I get the point, I'm a manager, but what do I do? Do I select the components for their bikes?
Become the head coach.
Do I hire
choose from over
riders?
80 professional teams and enter the legendary Tour de France. Sponsors, riders, contracts, equipment. You have to manage every aspect of your team to lead it to victory and take the famed yellow jersey home.
So I don't have to like X and Z over and over to make my cycle man go faster.
No. There's a season planner that lets you manage race registrations for your riders for the entire season. Stage Renaissance system and larger medical staff are also introduced, and the user interface has been built from the ground up, or rebuilt from the ground up. More detailed and varied environments enhance the regional identity for every race. New buildings and scenery make it come to life. New AI, so you can. While the riders get fatigued now, they're not just.
What, they didn't get fatigued before? They just keep on cycling at like a 20 mile an hour average for 12
okay, no,
it's
so they take their fatigue rankings and the competition's evolution into account before making decisions, so the AI do. Brand new multiplayer as well. Assemble your dream team by collecting rider and equipment and fight for victory in intense multiplayer games.
Okay, I pick Cycle Gaz, Script chick base and the traffic droid as my cycle
really?
Team.
Really? Traffic droid?
Creeping along at 6 miles an hour.
It's also got a brand new Pro Division with 40 more races and 20 more official teams. So can you build your... Is it just, I guess, you choose your bikes, I guess? You could have, like, the really expensive bikes.
No, you'd have a cheap 200-pound bike, wouldn't you?
Then, of course, we've got Battlefield 3 Premium coming out. This is the premium add-on for Battlefield 3. This costs £40. What it does is it gives you all the DLC, but slightly earlier as well.
Oh my god, wins are actually played. We've got someone in the chat room who played Pro Cycling Manager, apparently.
What, the
Or he's quickly reading it off a website. There we go. We'll just let him talk about it while we talk about Battlefield.
So it allows you earlier access to things... and even earlier access if you're on PS3. It gets you banked car can, close quarters, armored kill, aftermath, and endgame. These all run into next year. I think endgame comes out in March.
So it's like Call of Duty Elite.
I think endgame was the one that introduced motorbikes.
Oh, motorbikes are cool.
It also, of course, gets you extra things. So, like... exclusive DLC stuff, XP stuff, and assignments and dog tags, an in-game knife. So as well as, of course, getting all the DLC, you get a few extra little bonuses here and there. I mean, how expensive are the expansions? Are they like 1,600?
They're like £10 a pop, I think. I think they're a bit more expensive on PlayStation.
So 1,200. So 10, 20.
Actually, it might be 800 on Xbox.
Oh no, I think it'd be a bit more than that.
I don't know.
So you might.
I don't know. How am I supposed to get
it?
EA
probably works
on.
Out, so you're getting one of them for free, pretty much. So yeah, any Battlefield fans, that is coming out. Then we've got Just Dance Greatest Hits, which is Just Dance Greatest Hits for Xbox 360.
Sure about Dance Central?
Connect. Yeah, I like Dance Central. Number 3 looked alright, but they didn't show the game.
Just Dance is too
wild. What
was
the
like.
Point in that? What was the point of the Microsoft conference? To have them doing a song from Just Dance Central 3 and not actually show the game?
To make people happy.
What's the point?
Making people happy and the
Then we've also got Quake 4 coming out.
Quake 4 is coming out. This is a brand new title from Bethesda, whatever it is, ZeniMax Man type Cinema. Publishing, whatever the thing's called. Brand new game. This is a sequel to Quake 2, so you can continue your strong campaign again.
Yes, so it's Quake 4 being re-released for anyone who didn't pick it up when it originally came out for, I think it's about £20 retail price. Xbox 360 and PC. I believe it might already be out on PC tomorrow. But it's definitely got a retail release on 360 coming out.
The chat room says, yay, a new Quake game.
What is that face? They're like a sticking out tongue face. So yeah, it's a bit of an odd move from Bethesda, really.
Well, I think they've been doing this a lot lately. Making money. Stop it.
The thing is, I suppose they've already developed it. They've already, you know, shipped it. They've probably still got the stock. I imagine they'd probably rebrand it looking, put something on it.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
the number one selling Quake.
They re-released Oblivion. They did the 5th anniversary edition.
That's true.
Which is the same as the Game of the Year edition, except with some extra teeny weeny different bits and bobs. Now they checked out Quake 4 again.
And what's next?
Well, they are doing the Doom 3 re-release.
Oh yeah, is it BFG edition?
BFG edition, yeah. So they're just re-releasing its old catalogue.
They are doing stuff to Doom 3 though. Unlike Quake 4, which is a direct
Okay,
release.
Well yeah. Doom 3 is having a moderate graphic overhaul.
I didn't get a chance to play it. They had it E3.
My concern is this graphic overhaul is going to benefit the Xbox 360, not the PC, because if you recall, Doom 3 was an Xbox One game, so the console version of that obviously was a bit low res compared to the PC version. But I mean, if they change things like how the shadowing works, that's really lame, because Doom had it didn't have soft shadows, it was shadow. There's a shadow, yeah. And that's simply because of the technology at the time, but that what made the game good.
Well, that's the thing. That's like how they re-released a Tomb Raider HD collection. It's like, well, Underworld and everything... Well, not Underworld. Legend and Anniversary are on 360. Oh, but wait, they weren't released on PS3, so let's grab the PS2 port and change it up. And it's the same with... What else was it? Oh, Splinter Cell. Because I think they messed up the shadows with that, because the kind of shadows... that were on the Xbox at the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking, like, for the Xbox 360 version, oh, it's improved because we've put the PC version over rather than anything
else.
Well,
I watched a video, and I don't know if it really looks any better.
Because my videos didn't look any better. You could say, yeah, it looked better than the Xbox One version.
Because, I mean, I have it on the Xbox, but I
never
really played
it on the
Xbox. The
Xbox One was a minimum baseline for hardware-accelerated Shadows, so...
Because I played it more on PC.
Ah, PC. Either way, it's a good game.
So maybe that's why the
Quake
trailer...
Quake 4.
Maybe that's why the trailer didn't look anything different for me.
Yeah.
Same as you. And then finally
it would be nice if it runs at 60 frames per second, though.
And then finally we got Ship Simulator.
Because obviously Doom 3 was capped at 30. Because although they obviously wanted to do it higher, the hardware just wasn't capable of doing it at 60.
Then we've also got Ship Simulator Extreme's Collection.
And obviously you support widescreen now. Because obviously the old one, you had to hack the PC one to get widescreen. Yeah.
You done? Or am I going to be interrupted again? You done? Paul!
I'm not done, but I'm waiting for you to start again.
No, I don't want to be interrupted.
No, never mind. I'll just shut up.
And there's also Ship Simulator...
There's also Ship Simulator Extreme's Collection come out. This is a brand new Ship Simulator game. Which is like a ship sim.
So we reviewed it 2 years ago. I knew we reviewed it, but I didn't realise it came out 2 years ago. So it has all 6 DLC content packs that came out since the release. The DLC adds over 10 new vessels and increases the total amount of playable vessels to over 30. It's got new gameplay features and many hours of maritime gameplay fun, including exciting storylines and missions and famous locations and ports all over the world. It's also got online multiplayer and realistic water and weather systems. I know Charlotte quite enjoyed it. You can check out our review on our website.
www.gamercast.net
that includes all the DLC that's been released to date, pretty much.
Ugh, Netflix.
Ugh.
Well, I just commented on the chat room.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously what he means. Hey, look, the curse has gone black on the thing. Random.
Very random. So that's kind of all the releases for this week and most of the news.
Alright, that is it for this week. So next week we'll be back with a normal episode. Maybe. It'll be something fancy for 300, but to be honest, I don't really feel like it. I was talking to Catherine earlier, and to be honest, I'm like tempted to pack it in because... What's the point, like?
I like doing it.
Well, I need to train you how to edit.
It'd be lame if I did it on my own. It'd be like some kind of vlog thing.
It'd be really boring if you did it on your own. You need my entertaining stuff going on in the background, like shoes and other random stuff.
I still don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Shoes! We need some shoes.
Everyone would love it. YouTube this. YouTube FNS.
I don't know what that means. YouTube fans. YouTube fans can say hi. We don't.
Yeah.
So, next week. Oh, actually, send us audio clips of your letters congratulating us on doing 300 episodes. And if we get 5 of them, I'll keep doing Gamercast for another 100 episodes. Otherwise, what's the point? I'll pack it in. What's the point? In it? In it, bruv. So, 5. We want 5 letters from people. Audio. We can play on the show. Congratulating us for a fantastic podcast. You can swear if you want, but I'll bleep it out, obviously. Okay. Actually, no, don't. I don't want any extra work. Just no swearing. That's the deal. Okay. Right. We're done.